Anything else? Okay, then praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to go to the Luke. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. The title of this message is called Gold Nuggets of Faith and Prayer. Gold Nuggets of Faith and of Prayer. You know, we're going to start moving in to understanding the power that is found in prayer and how the Lord our God just waits and just longs to hear our prayers. And, you know, that's a different mentality than, you know, trying to get God's attention. You know, he is waiting. He is waiting, and he wants to receive, and he wants to hear your prayers, and he wants to answer. He wants to answer. He is a God who answers prayer. That's who he is. He is a God. If you believe that he is a God of the saving grace of God, I want you to know that he is a God who delights and who longs to hear and to answer prayer. And so I pray that you will hear what the word of the Lord has to say to us along these lines about prayer and how we find the power of prayer. And I want to begin by giving this scripture because of it's so foundational. And you can listen. I'll get to Luke 4 in a moment, but I'm going to read a few things to you. If you don't mind. And this is James 5. I gave it last week, James 5:15. And the prayer offered in faith. That's a very important statement. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. That's the promise of Almighty God. You know, but I want you to know that it's the prayer that is offered in faith. This is the prayer that the Lord hears. This is him. This is his way. This is what he has designated for you and for me. You know, fishing may be a very well and good thing to do. It just doesn't work in prayer. It just doesn't work in prayer. I'm just going to throw it out there, and I'm going to see, you know, what I might catch. You know, that may be well and good when it goes to the lake, but it doesn't work in prayer. You don't try God and see what he will do. You believe God, and then he will do. Then he will do. This is a prerequisite. This is a covenant condition of Almighty God. A covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. And we become heirs to that covenant by simply believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no preparatory work of getting your heart ready or conditioned. I'll get better. I'll do better. I got to get that out of my life. I got to do this and I got to do that before I can receive from the Lord. No, you don't. You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus because it's called the gift of righteousness. It's the gift of righteousness to all of those that are just simply willing to believe. To believe. Now, there are conditions on believing on the Lord. I read it a minute ago. Now, you don't believe with your intellect or with your mind or give him lip service. You give him your heart. Amen. You give him your heart. And he knows the difference. He knows the difference of when someone's blowing smoke versus someone is truly humbling themselves before the presence of God and giving their whole heart to him. Not some of their heart, not a little bit of their heart, not most of their heart. It's called with all your heart. Amen. I hate to say it, but some people make Jesus just simply another idol in their heart. You know, an idol is not just a clump of stone. An idol are the things that you give your heart to. Or what you give your heart to. We as Christians must be very, very careful as to always something is trying and seeking out your heart and is after you. There's something always after you to have your heart. The Word of God says that he's a jealous God who jealously desires the Spirit that he has made to dwell within us in James chapter 4. He will save you. He will clean you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will transform you. He will change you. He'll turn you into another person that you never ever dreamed that you could ever become. But he wants every bit of you in order to do it. The power of Almighty God. He hears, he answers prayer. He hears and he answers the prayers that are offered up in faith. You know, I'm just some of the mighty miracle working hands of God. You know, here I'm just listening, Daniel 6:10, and Daniel was under the edict of the king of Persia, and no one was else to be worshipped but the king, you know, and this was a plot against Daniel of wicked, evil men, and it says that after the king's edict come out, you know, it says this, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, even though he knew it was against the law. He knew that he could lose his life, but he did not care. He did not matter because his God came first in his life. This is what the power of God does. It gives you a backbone. It gives you fearlessness. And you don't walk around afraid. You're not walking around afraid about what's going on in life or anything else. There's things that God wants us to be praying about. He doesn't want us to crawl off into a corner, fold up our hands and say, oh my, oh my, oh my, or just get mad. The devil loves for Christians to just get mad and then hate people. Get mad and hate people. That'll really get your prayers answered, won't it? No, we call on our God. That's what we do. We call on our God and we believe on our God. That's what we do. And the power of God is available to you and to me as we believe upon the Lord our God. Nehemiah was in the same boat. Nehemiah 1:6, and let thy ear now be attentive to thy and thy eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now. And God opened a whole miracle for him to go back and rebuild the walls. It was just an incredible thing. Here is 2 Chronicles 7:1. This has to do with Solomon. And now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I'll tell you right now, God loves to send his fire. He loves to send his fire. It's the fire of God. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes it's a seen fire. Sometimes it's not a seen fire, but he sends fire. He sends fire that'll burn up. It'll burn up. It'll burn up all the dross in you and in me, and set your heart on fire for him and make you stronger than you could have ever been in your own power or your own might. He loves to pour out his fire. Answers to prayer. Psalm 3:4 says, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy hill. Psalm 118:5 said, from my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. There's a Psalm 120, verse 1. In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time for lay me down to sleep prayers, and there's a time for saying grace over the table, but that's not the spirit in which God wants you to seek him. They won't work. God's not looking for lay me down to sleep and saying grace over the table prayers. He's looking for a heart that he can fill with his spirit, he can fill with his presence, that he can fill with this fire of God that ignites our hearts in being able to do what we otherwise could not do. And one of them is truly pray and believe before the Lord. Prayer is spiritually appraised. And when one begins to pray, you will never succeed in your own power, your own might. Not really. Oh, you may have, you know, devotion time, and that's perfectly good and fine. But God wants more from us. He wants more from us than lay me down to sleep prayers, saying prayers like grace over the table, and then having a devotion time. And if I give him my devotion time, rest of my time's mine. Ha! I hope you don't believe that. That person has no power before God. Then we face things. We face our inability to pray. Well, to be honest, after I get through praying for Johnny and Michael and Sonia, you know, and Billy, and on and on and on, now it's like, what am I going to do now? Yeah. Powerlessness. Because you can't do it through the flesh. It's by the power of the Spirit. And then that's when we see, as we've got right here, if you haven't been putting into your miracle prayer request right here, more and more as the Spirit puts on your heart, these are how the miracles of God come. And then I love this one. This is Psalm 138, verse 3. It says, now listen to it carefully. On the day I called, thou didst answer me. Thou didst make me bold with strength in my soul. Glorious. That is Psalm 138, verse 3. Now, here we are. I want you to look at a few things here. And I want you to see these things that we come over here in Luke chapter 4. And I want you to look with me at verse 1. And verse 1 says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he went under a great affliction. I won't get into that now. But the one thing I want you to know, that he overcame the great affliction and he was made victorious. Now this is the walking out and the establishing of victory and the accomplishment of the purpose of Almighty God in the new man that Jesus was during his time upon the earth. And that new man and all of the accomplishments of that new man, as you inherited from, as the Word of God talks about, from Adam, the man of the flesh, Jesus being the man of the Spirit, as you've been born again by the Spirit of God, all of that belongs to you as inheritance in the Lord. All of it belongs to you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit belongs to you. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can find the power of Almighty God to overcome any and every and all afflictions that would come your way. I'm not saying that it'll always be easy. I'm not saying that it might not cost you. You should expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will use that another day, talking about more about the Holy Spirit. But I love the Holy Spirit. He is so good. And you know, the Word of God talks about having the fellowship of the, why do people ignore the Holy Spirit? I just don't get it, right? Like the Word of God says somehow that don't talk to the Holy Spirit, you know, or some way. I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. What does it mean to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit then? Do you not, how can you have fellowship with anybody that you don't communicate with? I don't get it. I don't see it. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Okay. We have the Holy Spirit. You give him more, he'll take more. You give him more, he'll take more. You give him place, he will take and he'll occupy that place. Don't put conditions upon him. Don't be afraid of him. Why in the world would you ever be afraid of the Holy Spirit or anything that he would bring or any gift of the Holy Spirit or tongues? I love tongues. I'm not ashamed. I love it. And I'm not talking about, as a lot of Christians do, I'm going to tell you, there have been a lot of things that have been done wrong, okay? It just flat out, they've been done wrong. People getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and it becomes like a merit badge. Like a merit badge. You know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues once or twice. And then, you know, I speak in tongues occasionally when I drive down the road. That's called a neglected gift, is what that is, because that's not what it's for. That's not what it's for whatsoever. It's to empower you. And I'll get into tongues later. Yes, I'm going to preach a sermon on tongues, okay? All right, now. But that's not what tongues are for. But here's my point right now. My point right now is, why would anybody be afraid of any gift of Almighty God? Why would you shun the power of God? Why would you shun an enabling intercessory ability that comes by speaking in tongues? Tongues is not a merit badge that you speak and say, oh, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit because I spoke in tongues. Yes, yes, tongues comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, very clearly in the Word of God. But I want you to know that it empowers your ability to pray. It empowers your ability to pray and to intercede. When you get through praying for Michael and Terry and Sonia and Billy and Jackie and on, bless that. You know, and that took you about 15 minutes to do all that, if you made it to 15 minutes. And then now you're stuck there. Well, I don't know what else to pray about. And that's how people get into all prayer is a devotion time. I understand. But God's got more. Because you cannot succeed at what He wants through the flesh. It's by the Spirit. So here's Jesus. Well, He's full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. Okay. His ministry was commissioned at that time. Turn over here, if you would, and look with me at verse 40. Look at verse 40. Verse 40 says, and while the sun was setting, all who had been sick with various diseases brought them to Him and laid His hands on every one of them, and He was healing them. And He was healing them. Come on down here, if you would, at verse 42. And when day came, He departed, and He went to a lonely place. I want you to kind of catch that. And the multitudes were searching for Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from going away from them. But He said to them, I must. I want you to see that. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus had the fire of the Holy Spirit in Him that was dictating His actions. And He was moving in the anointing and the power and the fire that was flowing in and upon Him. Now look over here in Luke chapter 5. Look over here, Luke chapter 5, if you would. And I want you to look at verse 16. But He Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And it came about one day that He was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Now look here. And the power of the Lord was present for Him to perform healing. What do you think? Think it's coincidental? Think that's coincidental? Come on to Luke 6. Come on over here at Luke 6. Luke 6, and I want you to look with me at verse 12. Verse 12 says, and it was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God. Who did this? Jesus did this. Come over here at verse 17. verse 17, and he descended with them and stood on a level place. You know, they'd come down off that mountain, and there was a great multitude of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and of the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 18, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. Here's verse 19. And all of the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. Power. Power. God does not intend for us to live a powerless Christian life. He does not intend for you to live a powerless Christian life. I'm just going to read this, if you don't mind. You can stay where you're at in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That fire, fire, God. The fire's yours, belongs to you. That's an inheritance. It comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Do not dictate to the Holy Spirit. Do not put conditions upon the Holy Spirit. Do not say, I'll receive some of it, but I won't receive all of it. I don't understand why anybody. Oh, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he'll bring power in your life. He'll bring gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't understand. Why would anybody, if it's available to you, the gift of tongues that will cause you to become the intercessor that you never knew that you ever could be, okay? He'll make you the intercessor that you never ever thought you could be, okay? And it will anoint your prayer life and cause you to receive miracles in your life. Why would anybody resist that? I know there's answers to that. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that the devil has fought more in the church than the gift of tongues. There's nothing the devil has not fought more over the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you know, and gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit flowing. If we would, let's go on here from here, and we looked at this. Look at Luke 8, if you would, in Luke 8. I want you to turn to Luke 8, and I want to say something about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and of tongues, you know, and you know, the attitude that says, you know, well, if God wants to do it, then he can do it. Really? You think that's a proper attitude to come before God? He won't do it. He won't do it. You and I, what are we going to do? We're going to look at gifts that come from the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to look at it and sniff at it. Well, not, if he wants to do it, I guess he could. You won't get it. That's offensive to a holy God. When I got it, I wanted it. I want it. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. This belongs to me? You mean I can have that? You mean he'll bring that into my life? Oh goodness. Oh Lord, will you please bring it? I want it. I want it. I want it. If you don't bring the right attitude before the Lord, you're not going to get nothing. What do you think? God's sitting on his throne looking at you and me and going, oh, please, 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 pretty, please, pretty, please, 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 pretty, please, let me move in your life. Pretty, please, let me work in your life. Pretty, please, receive these wonderful gifts and power. Oh, please, please, please. Do you think that? He's not. He's not. We best reverend him and honor him for who he is. He's the holy God that will sit on the great white throne of judgment, and he will judge every one of you, including me. You mark my word that the day is coming that you're going to stand before this holy God, and he's going to judge you. He will judge you. And he will judge me. And he will judge every man, every woman. There will be none that will escape him. This is called the age of grace. This is the age of grace that he bids all come to me. Come to me. Come to me and receive freely. Receive freely. Receive my love. Receive my power. Receive my glory. Receive forgiveness. Receive healing. Receive deliverance. Receive righteousness. Come, 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 come. This is the voice of Almighty God in the age of grace. But the age of grace will stop the minute that Jesus appears in the sky. Then in Luke chapter 9, we find over here just simply this. And I just want to look at this. Verse 25, they'd been in the boat. They'd been in the boat, and they were about to go under in the boat. And they woke up Jesus in the boat, you know, and they said, well, we're about to perish, Lord. We're about to perish. And Jesus spoke. He spoke. And verse 24, and they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And verse 25, I love this. Don't you love this? Verse 25, and he said to them, where is your faith? He was trying to teach them to act in faith, wasn't he? At that particular point in time. Over here, chapter 9, Luke, in chapter 9, if you look at verse 18, and it came about that while he was praying alone. Now, I won't go any farther. I just want you to see that. And it came about while he was praying alone. Jesus was a man of prayer. He perfected faith and obedience by yielding his whole heart, his whole everything. Philippians 2, I won't go back over it. We did it last week. He laid down his glory. He laid down his glory, being made in the likeness of a man. And he created a new man because the first Adam was not in him. That's the importance of the virgin birth. But he was born of a woman. He was clothed completely. Galatians 4, all right? Born of a woman, born in the flesh, born under the law. You're not under the law if you're not in the flesh. You're not under the law if you're not under the law. But the Word of God specifically says that Jesus was under the law. But he obeyed God, and he perfected obedience. And that perfection of obedience is all of your and my inheritance in the Lord. But you have to have an expectation for it. And this is what faith is. Faith is an expectation. It's not the doctrine. It's a believing. You give your heart, your whole heart, without conditions. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have to worry about having faith. He'll fill you with faith. He'll give you faith that is beyond your ability. It's a progressive thing. It's an ongoing thing. You know, the Word of God says in Acts, and they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me there? There are people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit that have completely turned away from God. But they were continually filled. They were continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he never, what, no matter what measure you have now, I want you to know that he will give you more. He will give you more. He will give you more. Don't take the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues as simply some kind of merit badge. Put it to the kind of use that it was made for. Put it for the kind of use that it was made for. You look it up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about, Paul says, you know, that I will pray in the Spirit. And you can look at it and you can see he's talking about tongues. He's not talking about a super level of spirituality that people interpret that to be because they don't believe in tongues. All right? All right? And they got to make an excuse. You got to make an excuse when you see in the New Testament, you know, pray in the Spirit and this, and they don't believe in tongues. Well, you know, you got to do something with it. It's some mysterious super level of spirituality. Well, the scriptures don't support any of that. He said, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray in the understanding. Oh, did you hear that? I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray in the understanding. I'm talking. You know, when I say grace over the table, I'm going to be praying in the understanding. But I also will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. See, people like me, that's a really great blessing because I can't sing a lick. Okay? I can't sing a lick. But let me tell you something. I am a worshiper. Isn't that amazing? How can a person who can't sing become a worshiper, right? You know, isn't that marvelous, you know, the way of the Lord? Because I can move into the realm of the Spirit and I can sing in the Spirit and see the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit of God set me free. And oh, I can, instead of sitting back over here and watching everybody up here who can sing, you know, and Sister Sally who sits over here, you know, and Brother Bruce that sits over there and they got heavenly voices, you know. And, you know, and then the old thing in church, well, if you can't sing, you just don't. I hadn't found that scripture. If you can't sing, then don't. Well, you're excused, son, because you don't have any ability. No, you're not. Whether you can sing or not, it's got nothing to do with, you know, whether you are a worshiper or not. Oh, well, I won't say any more. I'll say more later. But I wanted you to hear that, or he said more than I wanted to say. But anyway, about the glorious Holy Spirit, all that you see was because Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. You saw it. You saw the scripture. He was full of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say an audacious thing. As he was full of the Holy Spirit, so can you be. So can you be. I want you to go real quick. This will be our last scripture. We're going to go over to John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, Jesus was dictated by the fire of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 2, he was dictated. This old image about Jesus, you know, and, these people that got this, you know, Millie Mouse, you know, timid little man image, the scripture I'm going to use right now just blows it out of the water. I mean, and they just don't know what to do. They just, you know, become, you know, totally bumfuzzled over the whole thing, you know, because they got this image of Jesus, you know, and Jesus was less than a man's man. Don't you dare believe it. Don't you dare believe it. You know, and Jesus was filled with the fire of God. There was a woman at the well, and at the woman at the well, they were rang out. You know, they were tired and they were hungry, and the disciples went to get food, and it was all ordained by the hand of God. You know, and here comes the woman at the well, and Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and all that. Then she went to tell all the elders and all of the area and the land all about her meeting with this man. And then they came back, the disciples, and then they said, here, Master, just listen, John 4:31, it says, Rabbi, eat. And like, we're going to get to the scripture I showed you in just a minute. But he said, listen, he said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. The disciples therefore were saying to one another, No one brought him anything to eat, did they? They were clueless. And then verse 34 said, and Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. The fire of God burned in the belly of the Lord Jesus Christ. Burned, burned, burned. And it'll burn in your belly as well. Here is now John. I want you to go here in John chapter 2 and right up here, if we would, John chapter 2 and verse 13. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated. What a desecration. They had turned it into a carnival. They had turned it into a time to make money. You know, if you're coming from a foreign land, we can't use your money. Oh, it's unholy money. It's unholy money. You need holy money, you know, to buy your sacrifice. And, we'll sell you holy money. But at a percentage. At a percentage. This is all the things that were going on. And it was going on in the temple at that time. Now, verse 14 says, and he found the temple, those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated. And he made a scourge of cords. Now, can't you just picture that? Can't you just picture Jesus after he went through there? He saw all of that. And then he walked out of the temple. And then he went to another place. And there he is with these disciples. And his disciples are watching him make a whip. He's Jesus, your Jesus, is making a whip. And he made a scourge of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers. I don't think they like that, do you? And overturned. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And he overturned the tables. He didn't walk in there and say, oh, fellas, would you quit doing the things that you're doing? Oh, fellas, please stop. Turned over the tables. I don't think the money changers probably like that too much, do you? Bold, fearless, unafraid of consequences. He had no fear of man. Word of God says if you seek to fear men, you cannot fear men and fear God at the same time. You cannot. If you want the approval of men or you want the approval of God, which is it that you want? Because you can't have both. You can't have both. This was the fire of God. Well, how do I know that it was the fire of God? If you look right here in verse 16, and to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a house of merchandise. And then in verse 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, that's Psalm 69, verse 9, and his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. Now you see why I say Jesus had the fire of God burning in his belly. If he ate, he ate. If he didn't, he didn't. He burned. I can't stay here, guys, because I have to go and preach this gospel to every city. And he moved and he moved and he was empowered and empowered. He overcame every fleshly weakness. Oh, I'm tired tonight. You know, I've worked hard and I deserve to relax. And that's all you do. The fire of God will cause you to get on your knees and seek his face. The fire of God, because God wants to hear and answer our prayers. He wants to hear and answer our prayers. He wants to bring miracles. He wants to bring miracles in your life. He wants your life to be made into a miracle. He'll make you more than you ever dreamed to be. And you can't, don't sit back and say, well, I'm certain age and, you know, it's all too late for me. It's never too late. And the fire for my house is considered, that Greek word is zelos, Z-E-L-O-S. It means zeal. Listen, it means jealousy. It means jealousy. It means fury. It means jealousy. It means fury. It's a right kind of jealousy. It's a jealous heart after God. The jealous heart after God gives you backbone to stand without fear. And it's root word. I love the root word. Here's the root word of zelos. The root word is zeo, okay, Z-E-O, accent on that oil, O. And here's what it means. It means this. The root word means this, to boil, to be hot, to boil, to be hot, being fervent. This is the fire of God. This is the fire of God. This is the fire of God. This is the fire that the Holy Spirit brings. He'll burn up the chaff. Let the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, let the Holy Spirit have his way. Give your heart to Jesus. Put no limitations upon him. Welcome the things of God. Welcome things of God. Some people, they want Jesus and all the benefits, but they want to leave one foot in the world at the same time. You can't have them both. You can't have them both. If you want to be worldly, go be worldly. If you want to be godly, then come to Jesus and let him make you godly. But you won't have both of them. You won't have both of them. He will not give his precious Holy Spirit in power as long as we play with worldly, wicked, ungodly things. If we play with them, keep them. That's what belongs to you. But Jesus has better. And he has more, but he requires you and me to give him our whole heart. They didn't make you perfect. They didn't make you perfect, but I'll tell you what, you'll be set on a pathway and a course of perfection. You'll be set on a path and a course of perfection, and the power of the Holy Spirit will give you victory over things that you never thought that you could ever have victory over before, and things that in the flesh that you never ever could or ever would. But he will overcome it. He will overcome it. He won't overcome it by willpower. He won't overcome it by discipline. He'll overcome it because it'll be the fire of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't resist his spirit. You know, I'm going to close with this. And this is in, just listen, in Matthew 3:11, it says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Greek word for fire there is pure, P-U-R, and this is what it means. It means burning, burning, fiery, burning, fire, and fire. I tell you what, when you got the Holy Spirit, everybody wants to come to church because church is exciting. You don't have the Holy Spirit, everybody can't wait till the service to get over so they can get on with the things of pleasure and the things that they enjoy. Because when you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, church is awful. It's awful. It's boring. It's dead. It's empty. It's nothing but a form and religiosity that doesn't change anybody's heart, doesn't change anybody's life. Nobody ever obtains to anything. We did our time, and boy, don't we feel saintly. And now let's go do what we really please to do. That's not God. That's not God. That's not what God has for us. It's not what he's got for you. So, I was saved when I was 11. You know, God came and added portions. Fall now!
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, please come. I had this on my heart. Acts 13:49 says, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world through this mystery of godliness, believed on through the world, Acts 11:21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And then lastly, it says right here in this statement, you know, by common confession, you know, so this is the experience of those in Christ who take on and walk after this godliness that he's talking about. By common confession is this mystery of godliness. And the last statement is this, taken up in glory. Taken up in glory. You know, Acts 2:24 says, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Expect what you don't have. Expect what you don't have. Expect what you're not. Expect what you're not. Are you hearing me? Expect what you are not. Set your sights higher. Set your sights higher. Right? He will do it. He will do it. I've had something on my heart. And we'll pray a couple of things, if you don't mind. Number one. Somebody, person or persons, are being afflicted with nightmares. Nightmares. Nightmares have been bothering you. Nightmares. I don't mean every night necessarily. It's been afflicting you. I'm going to pray over it. Father, in the name of Jesus, these nightmares will stop and they'll be no more. And I rebuke every afflicted work that the enemy seeks to bring. Nightmare stop. Let sleep be sweet in the name of Jesus. Insomnia, go. Insomnia, go. Now. Go now in the name of Jesus. Let sleep be sweet. In Jesus' name. I got another one. Grief. Grief. I know different ones have suffered loss of loved ones. I mean that grief, but I don't just mean that grief. Grief. You can have grief in other ways. You can suffer loss in other ways. There are place and time to grieve, right? And then there's a place and time for it to be healed. Grief. Grief over relationships. Grief over changes. And this is my prayer. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of your grief, okay? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come now, come now, come now, Holy Spirit, in the midst of grief, bring the healing power of God, the restoring power of God. You come, Holy Spirit, in the midst of grief. Let the woundedness of grief be gone. Let the woundedness of grief be gone. Let the woundedness of grief be gone in Jesus' name. I got a last one. Bishop, I want you to come up here with me right now. Who needs healing in their ankles? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, Kathy, would you come and lay hands here? Keep your hand up. Who else? Your ankles are hurting or afflicted or whatever it would be. Okay, go ahead. Just go if you would. You know, right? Thank you. Thank you, Father God.